Welcome, everyone, to Real Fan Sports Radio, live Super Bowl preview show for Super Bowl 47. My name is Rodney Fisher. I'll be joined by the entire cast of everyone from the Real Fan Sports Radio team here today to preview the Super Bowl matchup between the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers. I want to welcome everyone to the program. Of course, you guys can call in, get your comments, your picks, your questions. 323-927-2906 or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/RFSportsRadio. And also on the web, rfsportsradio.com, which we're glad to say that close to 30,000 of you decided to do that last month, in the month of January. So we're growing, and a huge listening audience. I want to welcome everyone that's listening, especially overseas, to our military personnel who tune in to us on TuneIn Radio each and every day. So welcome you guys to the program as well. Well, the day is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. It is Super Sunday, and if you're like me, you got your own celebrations going on. I'm here, and I'm actually secluded right now in my home as the Super Bowl party is being prepared downstairs, and I'm waiting to get to as soon as I get off the air with you guys. So I want to know if you call in, give us a Super Bowl pick, also what your Super Bowl festivities consist of today, and what you're going to be looking forward to in today's Super Bowl as well. We have so many guests coming on with us today. Of course, we'll be joined by our staff writer, Luke Whitecotton, who will join us with his Super Bowl picks. Those of you guys have read his work earlier in the week in his Super Bowl preview know he's leaning towards the 49ers. So I want to ask him when he gets on, is he still leaning towards the 49ers? Was there anything that happened this week that may have changed his mind? We're also going to be joined by a special guest, Nick Ficarelli of the Sports Chronicles, TSRN, Sports Chronicles Radio Network. He'll be joining us as well. And also, Baltimore Raven fan du jour, none other than Whitney Fountain will join us also, who is a huge Baltimore Raven fan and also wrote a great article about the brothers, the Harbaugh brothers, and their quest for their first Super Bowl title in their family, which someone's going to get, just a matter of which brother, the older or younger brother, gets that Super Bowl title. And also joining us as well is our football guru himself, Mr. Scott King of Football Extra Points. His show comes on every Monday night, and he'll be joining us to talk a little Super Bowl as well, close to about 4 o'clock today. So we'll get into that. So much going on with today being Super Bowl. This is the 47th time we've had a Super Bowl, and Super Bowl really has grown into more than just a game. So we'll start off our show by talking a little bit about the extra part of the Super Bowl that no one really talks about before we get into the hardcore sports talk that we always do. You know, Super Bowl is responsible for, you know, not just the money that goes to that whole city, but worldwide at this point. I think I read a stat that said close to 700 different countries or something crazy like that we're going to be watching the Super Bowl this year. And that's a big, big number. It shows the popularity of the sport. But I think the popularity, in my opinion, is more so with the event itself. The way it attracts all the A-list celebrities, the stars, athletes from every sport, and not only that, but just the whole party atmosphere that comes with it. Now, in America, don't get us wrong, we don't need that much of a big event for us to get together and barbecue and cook and all that good stuff. So the Super Bowl provides that platform for us to get together, you know, bring your friends, your family, and everything else, everybody else can get together and have a Super Bowl party. So I was reading the other day in the Wall Street Journal about the economic impact of the Super Bowl, not just in the whole city, as I mentioned, but around the world. Do you realize that there are going to be more chips sold today than any other day in the world? There's also going to be more soda sold, more beer sold. And, of course, the memorabilia that the teams are trying to sell on NFL.com right now, this is their busiest week of the year, the week leading up to the Super Bowl, followed by the week after the Super Bowl when all the fans or fairweather fans are buying all their gear as well. So I thought that was kind of interesting to see that the Super Bowl, although it's related around the NFL or related around football, has grown to be not just needed for fans, but needed for business as well, too. So I want to get you guys' thoughts and comments on that as well. Give us a call, 323 927-2906. We'll start off by talking about the Ravens and the 49ers and their road to the Super Bowl, which we got to figure out which one has the toughest road, because I think that, you know, in that analysis, we can hopefully try to get me, myself, to pick a winner, which I've been kind of on the fence pretty much all week, but today is the day I have to make a pick today. I have to figure out who I'm going to go with, what the score is going to be, and what my bold prediction for the game will be as well. My heart tells me one thing, my heart tells me another, based on the storylines going into this game. So I want to break it down from every angle to figure out which team should I logically pick, which team should my heart go ahead and go along with, and who's going to win the Super Bowl here in a few hours. So let's start off with the road to the Super Bowl. The 49ers, of course, go through the NFC, had a great season this year, aside from the tie game with the St. Louis Rams and a couple of losses here and there. They've had a great season. And the switch at quarterback that they made after Alex Smith went out with a concussion to Colin Kaepernick has really been the key to their success throughout the playoffs. And if you start with the playoffs, we won't go back the entire season, but starting with the playoffs, the 49ers earned themselves a bye in the first week, and then they get Green Bay at home, which they beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, and then also go into Atlanta and beat the Falcons in the Georgia Dome, as hard as that was. Starting with the Green Bay game, they come from behind this game. Kaepernick comes out first, starting the playoff game, his only eighth start as an NFL quarterback. Comes down that game, throws a pick right at the beginning of the game, a pick six, and able to have enough poise for the 49ers and his team to settle down, get back in the ball game, and totally dominate the Green Bay Packers. So you can look at that game one or two ways. You can say, well, it was an easy win for them based on what the score was, based on how they dominated that team for the rest of the game. Or you can really say it was a hard game, because your first NFL quarterback experience in the playoffs, you have to come from behind after throwing the interception, so it's a lot of poise and resiliency from a young quarterback like Kaepernick. Then they move on to Atlanta and go into the Georgia Dome to face the Atlanta Falcons team who, let's face it, I mean, they had to win a playoff game this season. After getting their playoff win, I think they celebrated way too much. People took it like a Super Bowl win just because they finally got one, and Matt Ryan could put one notch up under his belt. But yet they came from behind in that game as well after dropping to a 17-point deficit to the Atlanta Falcons, who did a great job of jumping out early on the San Francisco 49ers. By doing so, though, Kaepernick again displayed a lot of poise, not just him, but also the defense as well, too, pitching the shutout here in that second half, pretty much a shutout, I should say. And you look at both the roads that the 49ers are taking, you could say that that was a very, very tough road, or you could take the adverse and say, look at the teams they played. Well, let's face it, Green Bay, you know, was a shell of the Green Bay team that we've seen dominate in the playoffs and also dominate the season prior when they only lost one game. And the Green Bay team was kind of, you know, it was a hodgepodge throughout the season of defenders after so many people were not injured. They really just got them people back for that one game, and they had no game plan for Kaepernick, who set an NFL record for rush yards for a quarterback, over 180 rushing yards. So you can actually say that was an easy game. To me, in my opinion, I think the 49ers had just as tough road as anyone else, but you can make the case that their road wasn't as tough as the Baltimore Ravens road. If you think about it, they had to go to Indy. Well, we had to play Indy, of course, with Andrew Luck, who a great quarterback, a pocket-passing quarterback. They go to Denver and play Peyton Manning. Then also go to New England and play Tom Brady. I mean, that's three big quarterbacks, three big teams on the road with these wins as well, too. Let's go ahead and take a first guest, I believe, is on with us. You are live on the Art Sports Radio Show. Hey, Whitney, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. We were just talking about your team, Baltimore, and their road to the Super Bowl, which, of course, they have a chance to win today. I want to ask you real quick, as a Ravens fan, since I know you are, what do you think about their road through the playoffs? You think it was the toughest road to go to the Super Bowl?
Yes, and I also think all the negativity everyone's brought to the Baltimore Ravens has only made them stronger. And the outcome that they've brought out, I mean, pretty much everyone denied, thought that, you know, they were going to get beat by Denver. And not only that, I mean, there was even people thinking we were going to get beat by the Indianapolis Colts. So, I mean, just to go through everything we went through and beat Denver and beat the Patriots, I mean, it's just a great opportunity to end up where we are now. I mean, you think about it, and everyone that doubted us is just like, well, what do I do now?
Right,
I mean, they're
right.
In the Super Bowl. They made it where they want to be, so they can hate on Flacco, because that's what a lot of people do now. I mean, they still hate on Flacco, and a lot of fans think that if someone doesn't have a Super Bowl ring that they can't be an elite quarterback. But Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback in my eyes, and I think that he's going to make it. I think he'll have a ring on his finger by the end of the night. That's my opinion.
All right. Good.
And I'm thinking it's going to be
17-21,
and we'll be up 21. That's my prediction.
Uh-huh. Okay, 17-21, Baltimore Ravens. Let me ask, first of all, Whitney, thanks for calling. If you guys don't know, Whitney Fountain is a staff writer for rfsportsradio.com. She wrote a great piece about the Harbaugh brothers and their road and now playing against each other in the Super Bowl. Let me ask you, though, Whitney, everyone knows that follows us knows you're a diehard Ravens fan and want the Ravens to win, of course, based on your prediction. You said the negativity that's surrounding the team. You know, are you surprised at all that even now in 2013, people are still making a huge point about Ray Lewis and what happened in Atlanta, and even now with the whole antler spray deal? How do you feel like the team's going to respond or feel about that?
I think with Ray Lewis and the way that he leads his team, no matter what year it is, no matter how old that man gets, he doesn't die off. I mean, I'm surprised he's actually retiring this year. It shocked me to know that he came up, and I mean, I think that was a great thing for him to do, because it put him and everyone else in the position to say, hey, we want to go out and win this, not only for Ray, but for us. So, I mean, I think that was a great thing for him to do, but I was shocked. And then again, the deer antler crap, I think that's just funny. Like, I mean, people just try to, you know, there's some writers out there that just try to put stuff out and get popular and famous for it, and that's one of the people, I think, because I've heard things about that guy that wrote the article, and he's been sued before by a Rams player over some other things. And I don't know that whole story. I'm researching it now, but apparently the guy that wrote that on Sports Illustrated has already been sued by a whole other team for accusing someone of something they did not do. So
right.
I think just all that animosity and all that just drama can just stop, because by the end of the night, they're going to have a Super Bowl ring. So,
yeah.
And so, that's just my opinion, though. I mean, other people can think different, and they will think differently, but we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, I would agree to that, too. I think, you know, with them coming out with all this stuff now, of course, the Super Bowl, they got to find a story. Writers have to write something. And you're right, you know, some of that stuff is just rehashed old material that they're just trying to grab headlines and everything with. So let me ask you this, Whitney. How are you celebrating the Super Bowl today?
Well, I'm actually getting ready to go to a little bar and grill in Gulfport. I didn't make it to NOLA this year. I'm disappointed, but I'm in Mississippi, so I'm staying here and just going to go to a little the Dock Bar and Grill here on Seaway, and they have a big projection screen, so we're going to just watch the football on that big old TV and just have fun. And see how it plays out for us.
Absolutely. So those of you guys listening in Gulfport can join Whitney down there. And if you see her, guys, buy her a picture up here. I mean, she's a Raven fan, so let me ask you real quick before we let you go, Whitney, a little bit more about the Baltimore Ravens. We were going to talk about the toughest road. I think me and you both agree that, you know, with the Ravens having to go through powerhouse teams like Denver and being counted out in that game, and then, of course, going to New England and beating the Patriots and Tom Brady, I think it's a very, very tough road. I want to ask you a little bit about the offense, though, as we transition to the offense. And Joe Flacco, you know, as a Ravens fan, you watch Flacco not just this season but seasons before. What's been different about him this season, you think?
I mean, he's always come out and he's always said to the media and everyone else that he's a good quarterback. And I think this year he just proved it to himself. I mean, not only to himself, but he's always thought that. He's always had the confidence boost that he was this good elite quarterback. And he's proved it. To me and Miles in the past years, he may have been, I mean, he's always been an accurate quarterback to me. He's always, I mean, just had the long ball out there. He just was, I don't know if he was nervous to just show his talent or what it was, but now he's out there and he's got a great confidence boost. He has people like Ray Lewis to guide him, and I'm not saying he needs anyone to guide him, but he has somebody like Ray Lewis and his leadership, and not only that, but his offense too to help him, like Torrey Smith. I mean, thinking about that, he went on a hard road when he lost his brother, and they just have a great uplifting team, and I think they got this one. It's just my opinion. I've never seen them go this far, like, and have such dignity while doing it. So I think they got
it. Well, you're right. I mean, the team itself has overcome so much, from injuries to tragedy, of course. It started out with losing Art Modell at the start of the season, and then, as you mentioned, Torrey Smith and his brother, to Ray Lewis being out, to Russ Suggs being out, Nada being out. They've overcome everything, which
I mean,
makes
they hired
a lot of people,
new offensive coordinator.
Right. It makes everybody feel like they're the team of destiny. Do you think Flacco, to win this game today, is going to have to throw the ball, or should they continue to use Ray Rice? And what do you think the game plan needs to be against the 49ers?
I think they're going to do what they did in the last game to the Patriots, I think, yeah. They started off running the ball with Ray Rice, and they realized that it wasn't getting them nowhere. So they started chunking the ball down the field, and they started scoring in the second half. And now they may come out in the first half and do the exact opposite and throw the ball and then come out second half and start running. I don't know. I mean, I can't be – I'm not the coach or anything, but I can predict that. I think that it's going to be just a run game at first. He's going to start out seeing if he can get yards on them running, and if they won't let him run, he's going to chunk that ball. And if they're not covering and they're not ready – for him to throw the ball, it's not going to be a pretty game.
Yeah.
And like I've heard, the brothers they want a big win. They don't want just a field goal win. And that's what everyone's been predicting, a 3-point game, but they want to blow each other out. I mean, and that's just any brother, any competition, like the Harbaugh brothers.
Absolutely. Like, just like the story you wrote about these two guys making it, and Jack Harbaugh, the dad, he was a former coach, and seeing his kids coaching the Super Bowl. We saw the press conference that the family had as well, too. I mean, and how big is that? I mean, two brothers playing against each other in the Super Bowl. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and that's one thing I want to mention before I go is the brothers don't like all the attention like you think they would. You think they'd like to be able to go online and see all the things that people are writing about them, or not only writing but saying on the television, and they just don't. They accept the credibility, but they don't want to see it. It's like they just don't, I don't know, it's not like they don't want to be a part of it because it's surreal to them. They're living the dream. And they'll tell you that. I was watching it on NFL Network, and Jack Harbaugh and Jackie were getting interviewed, and someone asked them, who has it better than you? And Jack Harbaugh said, nobody. And he made Jackie say that with him, and it was just funny to me because he knows. I mean, nobody has it better than him. And his sons are facing off in the Super Bowl, and no other family can ever say that. You know, it's just, it's an awesome thing for them. And I know that they're taking it in more behind closed doors than in front of, you know, media and things like that. But they like the media and all that to.
Oh yeah, absolutely,
like,
absolutely.
They just, yeah.
Well, let me ask you, Whitney. Will you be tweeting live about the game during the game today?
Yes, I sure will.
All right, good. So you guys can follow her on Twitter, at Whit Fountain, correct? I hope I had it correct.
@WHITT Fountain. That's it.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. You guys follow her on Twitter right now, so you can get her reaction as she predicts a Ravens victory 21-17 over the San Francisco 49ers. Whitney, real quick, what is your bold prediction? What event, what play, what's going to happen during this game is going to be something that's unexpected?
I think we're going to use, like I've heard earlier, we're going to use some of the offensive players that you usually wouldn't see, like Tandon Doss and people you don't think, like, yes, we're going to use we're going to use Torrey Smith on Bolden when needed, but you'll see a lot of Tandon Dawson, Jacoby Jones as our wide receivers, I think, and maybe some Ed Dixon, too, for the tight end. I mean, I think you'll see a lot of receivers that you don't expect to be catching those down the middle throws and things like that.
That's good. That's a good prediction. I'm going to look for that. Well, thank you, Whitney, for joining us. I appreciate it.
All right. No problem.
All right. Thanks, Whitney.
Right.
That is
all
Whitney Fountain, writer for RFSportsRadio.com, with her prediction, 21-17 Baltimore Ravens over the 49ers. And her bold prediction was that the Ravens offense is going to use a little bit more than just the normal people. Look for some of the other guys to step up and make a big play, which is nothing new in Super Bowls. We've had that happen several times in Super Bowls in the past. So, good prediction there. I want to talk a little bit more about the 49ers. We talked about the Ravens, and the 49ers, of course, and their offense being led by Colin Kaepernick, who out of nowhere they make a change with Alex Smith, and Kaepernick really is the one that gets them over the hurdle, winning the NFC Championship game, getting them to a Super Bowl. So let me go ahead and bring on real quick our other writer for, our staff writer for RFSportsRadio.com, Luke Whitecotton, who wrote the piece, the Super Bowl preview piece, and also gave us his prediction already, too, picking a 49er win. Luke, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. First of all, before we get into all the football talk, how are you spending your Super Bowl Sunday today?
Just with a couple friends and some family, good food, and obviously some good beer.
Yeah,
nothing
absolutely
spectacular, but just good get together.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a Super Bowl party waiting on me downstairs as soon as I come out of hiding here from doing the radio show, so I'm ready too. All right, first of all, Luke, welcome to the program. If you guys know, you can follow his work on rsportsradio.com and also follow him on Twitter as well. But, Luke, you wrote the piece, the preview piece that we've been promoting all this week and, of course, sent out by email as well. If you guys want to go to the email list, go to the website, you can just join the email list there. And you picked the 49er win. So I want to ask you about the offense for the 49ers. What's going to be the key to them offensively to dominate their Ravens defense? Is it Colin Kaepernick throwing the ball? Or is it still the threat of the run with him, Frank Gore, and Michael James?
I'm thinking it's going to be a little mixture of that, but it's going to start with that front seven with the offensive line. I just think they're too athletic and strong, and I just don't know if Baltimore can keep up with it the whole game. They might wear them down, and then, you know, I see Kaepernick kind of taking over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you can see, they didn't. He can throw from the pocket. He can run on you. Frank Gore, he is my MVP pick. So at least 100 yards, maybe two touchdowns. I mean, you know, Baltimore, you can run on Baltimore unless you're the New England Patriots. But, I mean, it comes down to the front seven. I think they're just too strong and athletic for the Baltimore defense.
Well, yeah, I think you make a great point. The front seven is very, very strong for the 49ers. But you know, the Ravens have so many different packages that they try to confuse quarterbacks. You think about the quarterbacks that they had to play. I mean, they confused Peyton Manning, who's seen every defense invented and not invented. They confused Tom Brady and confused Bill Belichick. You don't think they can confuse Colin Kaepernick? Because let's face it, he's only making his, what, 10th start in the NFL. I think that's going to play a factor at all.
Right. That did come into, you know, my prediction, too. The kid, he just – there's something about him that he doesn't seem to be phased. I know they did confuse Peyton Manning, but, yeah, this kid's pretty special. I mean, if something's not going to work, he's not going to get discouraged or something. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh can – made tweaks into the game plan with the best of them. So if he sees that, I mean, he'd go with Frank Gore or Michael James, or I'm hoping even to see a little bit of Vernon Davis in this game. I mean, since Kaepernick became the quarterback, Vernon Davis hasn't been the factor of what he used to be, but I could see maybe a little tweak there. You might see a little bit of Vernon Davis in this game too.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go to next, was about, you know, who his target's going to be, you know, when he does decide to throw the ball. And you mentioned Vernon Davis. I think he's going to be critical in the game. But I want to ask you specifically about the wide receivers that the 49ers have, from Crabtree to, of course, the self-proclaimed best wide receiver of all time, Randy Moss. Do you think either one of those guys would be a factor in the game? And if so, who?
It might surprise some people, but I'm not going to go as far as saying he's the greatest of all time. But Randy Moss could be a huge factor in this game, because obviously Crabtree is going to get special attention. So I mean, there are a lot of weapons that he can use. I would look for probably Crabtree early, and then, you know, like to tweak the game plan a little bit if he's getting double coverage, or, you know, Ed Reed the ball hawk. You know, if he's going to shadow him a little bit, I could see Randy Moss, you know, having a pretty decent game. Not the greatest game of all time, but I could see him having a pretty special game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think he can still, if he can get behind the defense of Baltimore, he can still be a threat deep. You know, he's still Randy Moss. So, and I'm like you, I wouldn't call him the best receiver of all time, but I think he's definitely up there. And I think going before the Super Bowl, you want your wide receiver to feel like he's the best of all time.
Right.
I mean, you're going up against a pretty good team. If we can,
right,
50 minutes on the defensive side of the ball with the 49ers. You know, someone asked me earlier this week who I thought had the best linebacking core. And it's almost like a trick question, because immediately you're going to say, well, Ray Lewis is playing for Baltimore. Ray Lewis is the greatest. And go that route. But I think people overlook Bowman and the combination of the two. But if you think about what the 49ers have in linebacker, I mean, with Patrick Willis and everyone that they have over that side of the ball, you know, which one do you think has a better linebacking core?
Well, I mean, the obvious pick would probably be Baltimore with Suggs and Ray Lewis. But with Bowman, Patrick Willis, you know, you got Alden Smith on the outside there. I don't know if you'd classify him as a pure linebacker, but they got a pretty decent linebacking core themselves, and, you know, they can handle business. Once again, that, you know, it starts with the defensive line. Is Justin Smith going to be healthy enough? You know, Alden Smith hasn't been obviously the same player since Justin Smith got hurt. So, I mean, that's a tough call. I mean, I'd have to go with Baltimore because it's the obvious pick, but, you know, as San Francisco has shown, they can ball with the best of them.
Yeah, I would agree to that, too. I think Baltimore's the obvious pick, but you have to really look at that 49 defense and what they're able to do and who they've been able to control as well also. Coaching
right
between these two coaches, both of them brothers, one older, one younger, you think that plays a factor in at all? Because the last time these guys did play, the Ravens did win the game. The older brother got the best of the younger brother. You think there's any edge or any extra anything that could benefit either team since they know each other so well?
That's a good question. I haven't given that much thought as, you know, everybody else with this Harbaugh Bowl stuff.
Yeah.
I would, you know, they're both great coaches. I'm a Steeler fan, so I get to see a lot of Harbaugh through the year. So,
yeah.
I'm trying not to show my hatred to the Baltimore Ravens. But
wait, is that the reason why you picked the 49ers? Because the Ravens are in your division? Is this what's going on here?
You know, this is the hardest Super Bowl game I'll have to watch in my lifetime, probably, because either way I lose as a Steelers fan.
Right. Well, it could be worse. You could be a Cowboys fan like me, so it could be worse.
Right. As far as their coach, I don't think either one of them has a drastic edge. They're both great coaches. I mean, you know, John Harbaugh is obviously doing something right. He's in the playoffs every year, and he's been a star on the Steelers side for a few years. Fantastic edge in the coaching. They're just both great. Great motivators. I mean, I'd probably give a slight edge to Jim in that area, but it's just going to be a great game. They're both great coaches, and you know, I can't really give an edge to either one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't either. I think it's going to cool. I think everything's going to really come down to the players on the field, really, because I think both of those guys coach a lot of enthusiasm. They're both intense, and I think both of their both of the players on both teams really respond to that, as you can tell. They're both in the Super Bowl. So anything that I'm missing about the 49ers would convince someone like myself that doesn't really know who I want to pick, because my heart says one thing, my head says another. Any other key factors to the 49ers that we should not overlook?
The only thing I can think of is maybe special teams. They got some good return guys. That could be a key. The only thing that I am not sold on in the 49ers is their secondary, but I think they could tweak that a little bit with the 2 weeks that they had here. I could see maybe a big special team play, maybe changing the outcome. Obviously, they have David Akers, who's been the shakiest I've ever seen a kicker, besides Mason Crosby, maybe. But, they got Ted Ginn and all of them guys. So look for maybe a special team play to spark something.
But do you think that, I mean, you mentioned David Akers. If it comes down to Akers, how confident are you? He's gonna put it through.
If I was a 49er fan, I would probably be not very confident. I'd probably have to walk away out of the room for that one. And if it does come down to a field goal, I mean, there's another thing that Jim Harbaugh's got to have to think real serious. Maybe you see a trick play even.
Yeah, no doubt.
I got it all.
No doubt about it. So your pick is the 49ers. What about the score again? I believe you said, was it 27-24?
I said 28-21.
Okay. All right, so you got 28-21 for the 49ers. And what's your bowl prediction? What's going to be a surprise of the game, you think?
I don't see too many surprises. They're still evenly matched. They're basically like the same team. I might say you're going to see a lot of Vernon Davis with Colin Kaepernick. Obviously, you didn't see him as much as 49er fans would like. So that'd be my surprise pick, is Vernon Davis being a pretty huge factor tonight.
Yeah, I would agree to that, too. I'll be looking for Vernon Davis as well. Well, man, I'll let you get to it, man. Enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday. Thank you for calling in. And, of course, you can read out of Luke's work on rfsportsradio.com, who just put up two fantastic pieces about baseball, one about PEDs and, of course, the other talking about spring training. If you would, go ahead and get into a little bit about that.
Basically, baseball season's right around the corner, and there's been some talk with a new list of guys with these PEDs. I mean, every time you turn around, there's new names involved. So I just kind of put something out there to is it fair to just probably assume that everybody in baseball is on something?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not fair to the guys that probably aren't using, but, it's just getting kind of chaotic, and they're trying to get a handle on it, but there's just more need to, I don't know if there's more testing or what they need to do, but they need to get a grip on it before it's. I'm a baseball purist. I grew up watching, in the 80s and 90s, early 90s, and then Sammy Sosa and all that stuff, and then it kind of blew up from there. So I just kind of put something out there that, this steroid era for baseball is not going away anytime soon. So,
yeah.
Which is
sad. Let me ask you on that point, though. Do you think, and this is a question that causes a debate wherever you are, but do you think, this whole message of not putting in Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and, they always say, well, they'll eventually get in, but we don't want them in on the first ballot. I mean, isn't that pretty hypocritical? I mean, because if you're going to put them in, put them in. Does it really matter what ballot they go in on? And do you think they even should be in the Hall of Fame?
I think they do. I mean, no matter what they did in the past, I mean, they gave that base, because baseball was, you know, it was dying off a little bit there in the, you know, early 90s, mid-90s, and then, you know, Bonds and Sosa and McGuire kind of catapulted it to where it is now. I believe they deserve to be there. You know, with these baseball writers that vote for this stuff, I have a hard time even wondering why they even get the vote. But, yeah, they deserve to be there. Eventually they will. I wish the baseball would kind of take a chapter out of the Football Hall of Fame to, because it doesn't matter what ballot. I don't know if it's just their sense of pride or what's going on there. But, you know, Barry Bonds, first ballot Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned, no matter what he did. I mean, if everybody's on it, then put him in. It's a museum for fans. It's not like, you know, these baseball writers get so involved in this, and it's just crazy. Hopefully that changes sometime in the next 100 years or so.
Well, it's up to us to make it. That's up to change public opinion, and hopefully the public will follow us, man. But I agree with you 100% on that. Luke, tell everybody how to find you today while you're watching the game. What's your Twitter handle?
Okay, it's at Chi-Town Sports Blog, Chitownblg. And there's some sarcastic tweets on there, but don't take them to heart, Baltimore fans.
Well, that'd be good, man. Well, I look forward to talking to you again. Look forward to reading more of your work. And thank you again for joining us, man.
All right, thanks for having me on. Enjoy your day.
Will do. Okay. That was Luke Whitecotton, writer for RFSportsRadio.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. He'll be tweeting live during the game as well, too. Let's take a small break here and come back and get more into Super Bowl 47. We'll take your calls as well, 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. You're listening to RF Sports Radio, Super Bowl 47.
We are back. DeSoto Eagles football is back on RF Sports Radio. Starting August 31st, tune in to RF Sports Radio to hear live Texas high school football action. Coach Claude Mathis returns to lead the Texas football powerhouse on another big season. The electric Dez White and Oregon recruit Dontre Wilson lead a high power.
What's up out there with it, world?
What's up with
it? It's your boy Chosen. Man, and I'm back in the building, you dig? And for all of y'all that haven't already done it, you know what I'm saying? Go out there and join IcebreakerProductions.com right now. Support your favorite ICE artist right now. You know what I'm saying? Get a ringtone, get a t-shirt, buy the calendar right now. Or you can even pick up a teddy bear. You know what I'm talking about? We got everything. Every Wednesday, y'all need to be checking out the Icebreaker Radio Show at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
7 p.m.
When you hear it, IcebreakerProductions.com. You know what I'm saying? Scroll down about the middle of the page and click on the player, and you got us. You know what I'm saying? And if that ain't working for you, hop on iTunes and listen to us on the podcast. I ain't tripping. You know, you can get us on anywhere. And if you really want to know what's going down at all times with Icebreaker Productions, you got to follow us on Twitter at Icebreaker Radio. And if you're a Facebook lover, hit us up, Icebreaker Productions. You know what they do. And for all of y'all that like them live, fresh videos, you know you can follow us on the YouTube channel, Chosen972.
Right now.
If you're still in the old school and, you know what I'm saying, you still on MySpace, hit us up, 972. We ain't tripping. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and hop into this album, the reason that you're hearing my voice.
Uh-huh.
You like one of these artists, you know what I'm saying? So get your jam on, get your lean on.
Yeah.
And I'll be back at you later on in the future with more ICE announcements. Already.
Welcome back, everyone, to Super Bowl 47 preview show live here with RF Sports Radio. I'm your host, Rodney Fisher. We've had our guests on. We've had Whitney Fountain, Baltimore Raven fan, predicting a 21-17 victory. We've also had on Luke Whitecotton, who predicted a 28-21 49er victory in today's matchup.
I got up this morning late again.
All right.
we'll get that fixed. And now we're being joined by, of course, Mr. Sports Chronicles himself, the man that needs no real introduction. I mean, he's known pretty much out there in the world of sports, online radio, that is, and that's Mr. Nick Ficarelli. Welcome to the program, sir.
Good evening. Good evening. Or should I say good afternoon? Very glad to be on the show today, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, doing great, man. It's been great, and we've had a good show so far. We've got a lot of people listening, of course. And everyone's been waiting on you to come on, man. So now that you're on, now they can stop holding their breath and start letting everybody know. So welcome, man. Thank you for joining
us. Well, I'm very flattered about that. I'm surprised everybody's waiting for a little old me from Howell, New Jersey. So, yeah, what do you call this? Is I don't know what to do today, gentlemen. I don't know whether to be very, very happy or very, very sad. Happy because it should be a national holiday of sorts, being that it is Super Bowl 47.
True.
Or sad that knowing at some point after 10 p.m. today, football season is over and we have to wait 7 long months for the preseason to begin. I don't know. I'm still in denial. I'm still in denial.
It's one of those things you have to look at it as the glass half full, right? You have to just look at, okay, we're at the crowning moment of the NFL season. I'm having a great celebration to cap it all off. And you're right. The other part doesn't set in until probably Monday. And that's when everything sets in, when there's no Monday night football. There's no training camp going on, and we've got to wait. So I'm with you there. I'm talking with you the same way. Let me ask you, first of all, Nick, how are you celebrating this Super Sunday today?
I will be home with my wife and my kids. We're going to be by ourselves today. We're going to have a little bit of our own little spread going. And then as soon as the game comes on, I'm actually going to be interested in the game. The wife and the kids will be interested in the commercial so they can laugh a little bit. But it's going to be a little low key for me this year. I figured, you know, I'm going to take this year off from going on the party circuit and stuff like that, just to be with family. I think that's the proper way to go about doing it this year.
Yeah, I'm doing it the same way too. I'm actually hiding upstairs in my home right now. As everyone downstairs is getting into the Super Bowl festivities, the smell of food is starting to get to me. So if I get a little agitated, Nick, don't take it personal, my man. It is. I'm waiting to eat, my man. Go ahead.
If they're listening downstairs right now, how about bringing up Rodney some food now so he can actually, like, give you a pregame of what's being put in front of him?
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you so much for looking out for him. I appreciate it. Let's get into a little bit about the game, of course, the 49ers and Baltimore Ravens. We talked previously about how both of these teams, the roads they had to travel to get to the Super Bowl. We also got into the offensive side and the defensive side somewhat as well, too. I want to ask you specifically about what is the X factor these teams possess. I think, you know, logic would tell us, or really maybe not even logic, just overall opinion would tell us that Colin Kaepernick has to be that X factor for 49ers and maybe Ray Lewis for the Baltimore Ravens, but I wanted your opinion. Well, who is the X factor that these teams are going to have to get a win today?
It's very, very simple. I've stated this for the last 2 weeks, and I'll say it until my dying day. It's going to be a bloody, brutal, knockdown, drag-out affair. This is going to be a war of attrition. The X factors are going to be, hey, diddle, diddle, Ray Rice up the middle, and Frank, I'm going to put a stake and make you gore. It's going to be those two guys running the ball, catching the ball out of the backfield, at least 25 to 30 touches for each of them, and whoever's left standing at the end of this epic affair will be the victor.
Wow.
These two guys are war horses. I remember Ray Rice when he was at Rutgers University and led them to their best season ever of all time. I remember Frank Gore when he was at the University of Miami, and he was overshadowed by a certain Willis McGahee and other running backs, because we have to remember he blew out his knee not once but twice while at Miami.
Right,
he was forgotten back. And now he's the all-time leading rusher for the San Francisco 49ers. You got Ray Rice, who gets better as the game goes on. These two guys, if they don't get 25 to 30 touches each, I will be shocked. Actually, I'll be appalled because I've been calling this game to be a slobber knocker for as soon as the championship games were over. And it's going to be a lot of fun if you're into old style, old time, 1950s, 1960s style football. Mm-hmm. You can talk about your formation. You could talk about your Joe Flacco hurry-up offense. You could talk about that until you're blue in the face. The Harbaughs are blue-collar coaches. This is going to be a blue-collar game at its finest.
Oh, that sounds like a great game, too. It just sounds like an old, you know, the grainy footage, the grass field type of game, and that's what I'm hoping for, too. I'm hoping for the same exact thing. With that said, if both of these teams come out here and try to make it that game, to try to take control of the line of scrimmage, which defense you think is better equipped to stop it? Now that's just, before you answer that question, we know that the Ravens defense can be run on. I mean, we've seen what happened throughout the season. But now they've got their core back, you know, although they're not 100%, but now they've got the core back, they've done a better job on the run during the playoffs. So which team you think is built, which defense is built to try to contain the run if they can?
Both teams are built to contain the run. The Ravens, obviously this year, it was not a Ravens-style defense, 23rd in the NFL. But during the playoffs, as you stated so eloquently, they've stopped the run as best as they can possibly can. However, the 49ers defense is so geared to stop everything to be thrown at them. They're more susceptible to the pass than they are to run, especially when you have the next version of Ray Lewis in one, Patrick Willis, and a very underrated Navarro Bowman manning the middle of that field. And then you also have Alden Smith, Justin Smith, who's been getting healthier. San Francisco's defense is more geared to stop the run than the Baltimore defense. But, I've been on many shows, and I've been saying the same thing all over again. And this is the last show I'm actually doing before the Super Bowl, so it's the last time this will come out of my mouth. The Ray Lewis retirement party ends in Party Town, USA, New Orleans. It ends with him on the podium holding up the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Wow, that's a big one.
The final score, Baltimore 24, San Francisco 17.
Wow. And you think Ray Lewis, in his season, in his career, holding that Vince Lombardi trophy, even though the 49ers have got the best wide receiver of all time in Randy Moss?
4 weeks ago, that Wednesday, when he announced that he was on his last ride, I called a lot of my friends and I said, if you're in Vegas right now, go start running and put a hell of a lot of money on Baltimore winning the Super Bowl. And they're like, why? I go, did you not just hear what just happened? And they were like, no. I went, Ray Lewis just announced his retirement. Within a week, the odds of the Ravens winning the Super Bowl went from like 25-1 to 15-1.
Yeah,
everybody and the mother started pounding Baltimore to win the Super Bowl. And although
absolutely,
I am not a betting man, if I were a betting man, I would have been in Las Vegas right now or calling friends going, lay this for me on Baltimore winning the Super Bowl. And they are 60 minutes from doing so. They will do so. All due respect to Randy Moss, Ray Lewis is the one that's going to be holding up that nice, shiny trophy.
Now, you know, I feel the same way, Nick. I'll be honest with you. I feel that the Ravens will win the game. Everyone's called me crazy. You know, I can't go get a haircut because my barber's a 49ers fan, and I'm looking like Teen Wolf over here because he just won't let me come in there because he knows I'm going to talk bad about the 49ers. But I feel the same way. I feel like the team has overcome. They're on that destiny ride, man. I mean, think about the stuff that went on with them this season from, you know, Flacco not signing a deal, just waiting to play out this entire season. Ray Lewis coming back from this, having his tricep torn off his arm. He comes back, he plays. Terrell Suggs comes back to play. They're on that destiny ride. It feels like a destiny ride for the team. And would you agree with that?
I agree 100%. It's like the Giants of last year. The Giants were a team of destiny. It was like the Green Bay Packers of a couple of years ago as a sixth seed. They were a team of destiny. This Baltimore team has the look and the feel of being a team of destiny. No doubt, hands down. And again, when your leader makes an announcement like that, everybody gets on that train and says, we got to win it for Ray. We got to win it for Ray. We got to win it for Ray. And sure enough, 60 minutes, it might be a long 60 minutes, but in the end, it will also be worth it, especially for the city of Baltimore. The city of San Francisco, with all due respect, you have many years where this could happen. They are set up not only for now, but the future. But this is the last ride for many people besides Ray Lewis on this Baltimore roster, whether it's age, contract, whatever. Baltimore needs to win this game. If they don't, it's going to be a very, very long offseason and possibly, just possibly, a very long couple of seasons to come.
Yeah, that's true. Like, well said, my friend. Well said. Now, I got your prediction. I got your score. Now, I want to get your – I got your pick and got your score. I want to get your bold prediction of the game. What's going to happen during the game that we're not expecting that could turn the tide either way?
Jacoby Jones will catch another bomb. He will catch another bomb. That's the guy that's going to make the big play. He won't win the MVP. He's not a sexy pick or anything like that. But he seems to be the forgotten man behind Anquan Boldin, Torrey Smith, and Dennis Pitta, and Ray Rice, and Joe Flacco. Remember, he was the guy that caught the touchdown pass against Denver. He was the guy that caught some clutch passes against the New England Patriots. He's the forgotten man. He will make the play that either A, will turn the tide, or B, will continue the momentum going for the Baltimore Ravens.
That's a good one. I like that. Very, very, very good pick. Well, I will let you get back to it, my friend, and I think someone's going to bring me a plate here pretty soon, so I thank you for putting in the kind words to the family, nigga. If I can get them to listen to me like they listen to you, things would be a lot easier. I would say that.
Seems I have that effect on people. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I'm from New York and I'm very demanding as it is, so I don't know. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Fick, TSC. You can find the Squatch Tron Chronicles Twitter handle at TSCRN. 14 shows over 7 nights. www.blogtalkradio.com/the Sports Chronicles Radio Network. My personal show is on Saturday nights from 10 to midnight with myself and my two co-hosts, Kyle Nash and Andrew Glukoff. Rodney, thank you so much. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Thank you, man. Absolutely.
Food. People, bring him his food. He's a hungry man. He's doing a show.
You.
He needs to eat. Don't
All
give him
right.
anything
Thank
yet.
You.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, man. All right, guys. That was Nick Ficcarelli from the Sports Chronicles. You can hear all the Sports Chronicles premium programming on our site as well, too, rfsportsradio.com, or on the TuneIn Radio app. Just do a search for RFSN, and you can find us there as well, too. Let's take another quick break. We come back. We should be joined by football extraordinaire Scott King of Football Extra Points. He'll be joining us to talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl. You're listening to the Super Bowl 47 preview show live on Real Fan Sports Radio, sports talk from a fan's perspective.
I got up this morning late again, rushing, trying to get to the station. Didn't have time to fix coffee or breakfast or even grab a lunch. And I jumped in my car and realized, I don't even have gas. I stopped by the Texaco in DeSoto on Hampton and Pleasant Run, walked in, and immediately thought, this can't be a gas station. And I was right. It was Maryland's Fine Foods. The friendly staff there was able to give me a fresh-made breakfast from scratch, also a gourmet box lunch, and not to mention a tank of gas, too. I got to work and had an awesome day, and then thought my family would love to have a break from fast food. So I went online to Maryland's Fine Foods and placed an order for my entire family. And you know what? When I got to DeSoto, it was hot and ready for me to pick up on my way in. Trust me, guys, you got to try Maryland's Fine Foods, located in DeSoto at Hampton Road and Pleasant Run. Give them a call at 972-274-1070. That's 972-274-1070. Or try them online at marylandsfinefoods.com.
Welcome back to a Super Bowl 47 preview show. You can tell by the music in the background as we come back from break that we're joined by none other than the host of Football Extra Points, football extraordinaire, Mr. Scott King. Scott, how you doing, sir?
Great. How you doing tonight?
Good, good, man. First of all, thanks for joining us. We've been reading your stuff all this week. You've been posting on your website, footballextrapoints.com. And, of course, follow-up from your show this past Monday right here on Real Fan Sports Radio, where you had a special guest, Mr. Russell Baxter, to talk about the Super Bowl as well. And, of course, you guys can go back and listen to that show. Shameless plug there, but needed to happen. And now we have a join on our previous show. So, Scott, first of all, I want to ask you a little bit about these teams. We talked about the offense. We talked about the defense. We talked about the coaches, even special teams. In your opinion, you know, what is going to be the stuff you're not going to read in the stat line that has to happen for one of these teams to win?
Yeah, I think the key for both these teams is going to come down to the offensive line. I mentioned it in a couple of different articles I've been writing over the last couple of weeks, but the ability of these lines to open holes for the running game and protect the quarterback against two of the best defenses in the league is really going to be the difference. San Francisco, their line's been built over the years in the draft and is really just, in my opinion, probably the best line in the league right now. And the Ravens kind of made some moves late, moving Orr around, bringing McKinney off the bench, and are playing really stellar ball. And I really think that's going to be the key. Whichever line gives the quarterback time and opens the holes for the running game, that's going to be the team that's going to win today.
Yeah, and both of these offensive lines are good offensive lines. You know, a lot of people like to give the edge to San Francisco having a better, more physical offensive line. Of course, they ran the ball just as good as Baltimore with their combination of Frank Gore, Michael James, and, of course, Colin Kaepernick. Do you think that Kaepernick today is going to have to use his legs more so than he had to do against Atlanta to get a win?
Well, the threat of him being able to run is going to be important. I think that really came out in the Atlanta game. I don't know if they overcommitted to covering Kaepernick on the run, which opened up Davis across the middle. But they're going to have to show a lot of run with Kaepernick, run those kind of zone reads out of the pistol, and have the threat there for the run. I don't think he needs to make all the plays with his legs. He proved that in the Atlanta game. But, he needs to stay healthy. That's one thing I touched on a little bit earlier. One of my previews was, let's not forget that they've got Alex Smith there backing him up, and you never want to see anybody get hurt. But if Kaepernick's running around out there, Ed Reed or somebody might take him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone's saying it's going to be a knockdown fight. As our previous guest, Nick Ficarelli, described it, a slobber knocker of a Super Bowl game. Do you think that's going to play a factor? Because I think that the defensive side of ball for the Ravens, they're going to want to hit hard. But I can say the same thing about the 49ers, too. And there are going to be some players that don't want to take those hits.
Yeah, for sure. And Kaepernick's kind of the one leading the pack there with not taking any big hits, because hopefully he's shown a lot of poise in his first half a year starting. They started off real slow against Atlanta. You know, you don't want to see anybody see Kaepernick start just scrambling, panicking back there and end up getting himself in a bad position and getting hit hard and taken out of the game. So he's got to come out and be patient. San Francisco started off slow the last couple games, and they need to make sure that they don't do that and get too far behind against the Ravens. But Kaepernick's got to be careful not to get too sloppy out there and leave himself open to a big hit.
Absolutely. Let me ask you about the flip side of the ball with the Baltimore Ravens. You talked a little bit about the offense and having the – and you said the offensive lines would be a key factor. But I want to ask you a little bit about the defense for the Ravens and specifically Ray Lewis. And I asked this question to our first guest, but I'm going to ask it to you. I want your opinion. Do you think that it is fair for media, and I guess we could throw ourselves in there too, to bring up or rehash the stuff that happened with Ray in Atlanta during the Super Bowl week and even this whole antler spray business has happened? I mean, do you think that has any effect on him, the team? And if it does have an effect, what kind of effect do you think it'll have?
Yeah, I've actually got an interesting take on this. I lived in Atlanta in 2000 when the Super Bowl was there and the Ray Lewis situation went down. So I lived it for quite a few years during the trial when everything was going on. I think at this point when he's coming to the end of his career, I think it's kind of natural for everyone to look back all the way throughout his career and talk about what he's done. And that's part of his life. He's seemed to have moved on from it. So that's good for him. I don't know what he's been able to reconcile from that, but you know, I do think it's fair to look back at everything that's happened in somebody's life when they get to the end of their career, good or bad, and unfortunately that's a chapter of his life he has to deal with. As far as the deer antler spray stuff, ironically, a couple years ago I actually looked into that product myself. I never bought it.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was tied to a story with that a couple of years ago even. I know at the time the Raiders coach Hugh Jackson, I think, was even a spokesman for the product for a little while. Mm. You know, I don't know if the guy's just trying to get some more free press or if he was actually linked to it, but, you know, things come up about players Super Bowl week, so it's unfortunate that it became a little bit of a topic for a couple of days, but I think it went away pretty quick.
You know, just to go off on a tangent while we're here, I'm totally outside the box of thinking, but to me, you know, I love to watch football just like you do. I'm a huge football fan. I played it as a kid. I played in high school, played some in college. So I always want to be close to the game. And now football serves not just, you know, my thirst for being on the field still or whatever, but it's more of an entertainment thing to me. It's nothing more entertaining than watching the Super Bowl than watching the football game on Sunday. So in my opinion, and I may be wrong in having this opinion, but any product, anything that can help get the guy I want to see back on the field a lot faster, I think is more of a help than a hurt for the game. Or maybe I'm just outside the box.
Well, it's part of that's part of the game, but people don't want to hear about it. Even if it's a legal substance, you always hear about players taking shots at halftime or getting pulled off the field, and then they go in and take something to block the pain. It's something that is part of the game, you know, good or bad. The performance-enhancing drugs stuff gets brought up kind of to the forefront, but there's so much that these guys go through that's supposedly legal just to get them back on the field. You know, no one wants to see their guys off the field. They want them back on the field. But when something surfaces that they've been doing that's borderline not legal, then everyone wants to attack them. But I agree. It's a fine line you walk when you want guys on the field and what do they do, put their bodies through to get out there sometimes is,
right,
you know, the question.
Yeah, That's what I'm thinking. You know, plus you got a league that wants to go to 18-game schedule, and of course they're going to put more demands physically on athletes, and yet they don't want to give them the tools needed to to play with that kind of demand. So it's kind of the side of fence that I'm on. Let's jump back into the Super Bowl real quick. And you know, you did talk a little bit about the defense for the Ravens. I want to get your thoughts on the defense for the 49ers. Of course, we know about their linebacking core. I posed a question earlier in the program on which linebacking core was the best, and a lot of people seem to think the 49er linebacking core is a strength of that defense.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think when you've got guys like Willis and Bowman right now in the prime of their career, they're just playing outstanding ball. Ray Lewis is obviously going down in the history as one of the top two or three, you know, once you go back and dissect his career, middle linebackers of all time, and Suggs. But those guys are, you know, Ray's quite a bit slower than he was, and Suggs has been dealing with these injuries. So I think they're two great groups, but right now San Francisco, I would say, is definitely at their peak. Ray Lewis has kind of dug deep here in this postseason and is playing real well, but overall I think I would definitely take San Francisco's group right now today.
Yeah, and I feel the same way as well, too. I think, you know, everything on paper to me says the 49ers should win this game handily. But for some reason, my heart won't make the pick, if that makes any sense, because I just feel like the Ravens are kind of a team of destiny. The fact that they've overcome, I don't know, I mean, everything, anything you can think of, any team could go through throughout the season they have, from changing the coach to injuries that they've overcome. But the 49ers could be, you could say, the team of destiny as well, making the quarterback change like they did with Kaepernick over Alex Smith. Let me ask you, though, in your opinion, every team has to have some kind of weakness. So what are the weaknesses of these two teams, and could they play a factor in today's game?
Well, I think each team definitely has a weakness. From San Francisco's side, I think Kaepernick is a weakness. I know everyone's been real high on him, and I've been impressed with him here the last, you know, half of the season. But let's not forget, this guy's only making his 10th start.
Right,
They did not look, they did not look good at all at the beginning of that Atlanta game. And, you know, he could come out and throw a couple of picks and put them in a hole that they can't dig out of. So that's definitely a concern on that side. And on the Ravens side, for me, it's their offense as a whole. You know, they want to run the ball and make these big pass plays, but if Denver's secondary is 2 yards deeper, that ball gets picked off and they're not even here. So they want to live on these big bombs that Flacco likes to run. If San Francisco can adjust and take that away from them, I think they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I would agree. Those are great points, man. Absolutely. Let me ask you, I forgot to ask you this when you first came on, but how are you spending Super Bowl Sunday today? What's your festivities look like?
Well, we've been here getting things cooked and setting up here at the house and been watching a lot of pregame and just getting excited for the kickoff. So we've kept it local and doing our own little in-house party. So it's been a good time so far.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing, too. I've been joking about it all show, but I'm sitting upstairs in a secluded room, and I'm smelling all kinds of burgers and everything coming from downstairs. And so I'm doing the same thing you're doing, kind of spending time with the family here. But, of course, wanted to get out there and get this preview show together. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening. We had got a huge live crowd on right now, so I want to thank everyone for listening to this. And, Scott, of course, your show comes on every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, Football Extra Points, which you've been on for about 3 weeks, and it's been a huge success up to this point. You had Russell Baxter on this past Monday, and I know this Monday will be your recap show. So any surprises, any teas you want to leave us for Monday's show?
Well, just going to be covering the game, kind of talking about recap and then mapping out the off season in the league and touching on the draft a little bit. I've been working on my draft board for about 2 weeks now, and I've about got that buttoned up, so I'll be bringing out another mock draft here in a couple weeks and lining up. I've got several guests trying to get lined up here the next few weeks, some representatives, writers from other teams to talk about their team's draft plan. So just excited to, you know, for those of us that aren't fans of the 49ers and Ravens, the draft is the next big thing for us. So as a Lions fan, I'm getting ready, geared up for the draft, and I'm sure there's a lot of other fans out there doing the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. Just imagine if you're a Cowboys fan like myself. and here, trust me, football season is never over in Dallas.
Yep.
It's like it is.
Yep, that's
like
right.
It is around the world. So I thank you for joining us, man. Are you going to be doing any tweeting live during the game on Twitter?
Yes, I will. I'll be on Twitter, Football Extra Points, and I'll be talking about the plays in the game and sharing my thoughts as we go.
All right, good, man. We'll look for your analysis live in game, and of course, looking forward to the show on Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 6 p.m. on the West Coast. So thanks for joining us, Scott. Thank you for taking time out today to do this, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Enjoy the game.
All right. Thank you. It was Scott King, and he was joining us, of course, the host of Football Extra Points. And now we've come to the program where I have to finally make a decision, ladies and gentlemen. Who am I going to pick? I've heard from my trusted people that I trust. I've heard from the experts. I've heard from the pregame shows and everyone else's opinion. So now it's my time now to make an official pick. And I'm going to go ahead and go with my gut here. I'm going to pick the Baltimore Ravens to win the game. I think they'll win 24-21 in a three-point game, a close game at that. And let me be honest, guys, if you're betting and haven't made a bet yet, don't look towards me, okay? This is a recreational pick. I have not done very well picking Super Bowls in the past unless New England's playing, which in that case, I've won those two Super Bowls New England played in. So don't take that to the bank. My gut is telling me to go with the Ravens. I will, 24-21 over the 49ers. I want to thank all of our guests today, Luke White Cotton, of course, of RFSportsRadio.com, Nick Ficarelli from the Sports Chronicles, Whitney Fountain from RFSportsRadio.com, and also Scott King of Football Extra Points and his show on RF Sports Radio. Thank everyone for joining us. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the festivities. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow on Football Extra Points. Until then, keep supporting Real Fan Sports Radio. Sports talk from a fan's perspective.